Can you tell me about the 22nd of April then?
Yeah. when we finished our trick of the trenches, we went back into immediate brigade reserve. And we were out on working parties for 2 or 3 nights. And then on the 22nd of April, just as getting into the sun was going down, we saw a weird light in the sky to the west. And then we smelt it. And those who remembered our chemistry classes, the chlorine. Then one of our transport drivers came, who had been in the weep, came galloping up the limber and said, they broke through. Somebody said, shut up, you bastard. We'd fallen in the meantime, quite instinctively. And all that day and the day before, we'd had such strict airplane control that nobody was allowed to move as long as there was a plane in sight. Consequently, we were the only billet in sight, only farm in sight that had not been shelled. Then we went up and we could see before that all of our troops coming up, a lot of buildings on fire in the background. You see them silhouetted along the ridges, coming up in single file. And we dug in, just in trenching tools. Stayed there the next night, and the next day, without any action. The enemy knew we were behind there somewhere, but they couldn't see us, we couldn't see them. And picks and shovels were brought up, and we dug in and dug trenches. And I got word in the middle of the morning with my company commander to retreat, to take a second and cover the retreat. So I went up a sort of a spur hedge. There's nothing in sight. And we're there, and the enemy started coming over. You have to see the top of the heads, that's all.
Would that have been up over the Gravenstaffel Ridge, would it be?
I imagine so. As I explained, I don't know where I was at any time. How am I talking to you?
You're doing beautifully. Go ahead.
The retreat, I'd imagined, was the Gravenstaffel Ridge, which would involve St. Julian on the left. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I didn't withdraw with the rest of them. I got a bullet through the collar of my coat and my tunic, and when I came back to the partial trench we had dug, I found one of my sergeants who had been shot above the heart. And there was a fellow who was not very bright, who had attached himself to me, and I didn't want him. So I said to this fellow, see if you can take a sergeant, get the sergeant back. And in some miraculous manner, he did. And he died. And I got to approach the road with a village, which you say was in Julian. I went back in a very leisurely manner, There was no space in the trench available there. It was a very deep trench. Except one of one of our machine gun sergeants, Sergeant Weeks, was installed behind with one helper and blazing away in all directions. When have you ever been under a machine gun? Don't do it again. But he disappeared. And I then tried to organize things using our own dead as firing steps, because the trench was too deep to see over without support underneath. There were none issue that, but there were places where you knew the enemy would be, and you just tried to keep them down. And then the tear gas started to come over. Just go plop. And after a little while, you couldn't sight your rifle for 50 yards. Then one of our stragglers came back, started to come back, same way route as I'd taken, and a German ran out along the road into St. Newland and started to shoot him. A younger fellow from the 13th Battalion shot him. And a second after, he got it right between the eyes. And I was shoulder to shoulder with him, and nobody tried to shoot me. Then the word came down from the right, ceasefire, from Major something something. But I, you know how messages get garbled. But I knew that it was from my company commander, Major Bing Hall. And then the question arose of what to do. Propaganda was such that I figured that if I was taken prisoner, I would die a lingering and miserable death. And a quick and merciful bullet would be the easiest way out of it and offer some sporting chance. So I gave the order, every man from himself. About six of us started off. We had to dive through a hedge behind and then get into a field with the enemy and St. Julian on one side and then a hedge on the other side. And a fellow ahead of me was hit and fell screaming and grabbed my foot, tripped me up, and I got the idea. Playing possum. I'd brace myself and run forward a few yards and drop and lie dead, or possibly add a few artistic wriggles if I was an extremist. And my clothing and equipment were hit at least half a dozen times. I never got a scratch. I finally got up and walked off. I was the only one that got out from there. All the rest were taken prisoner. And the Germans were, as I say, they weren't killing, except a few extremists, excitable ones. They knew they had us in a bag, and as long as you didn't try to be belligerent or escape, they let it go at that. That was my impression, anyway. Well, I drifted back and then found a certain number of the battalion right back where in the billets where I started from. And then that night, the Imperials were coming through, and a couple of the battalions on the other side of the salient, in open order, with a big black coal box bursting over them, and quite a number of us left and joined them if it fell in. Don't know what happened to them. But that night we were collected. Brought up to I don't know where, and dug in on the left of a newly arrived territorial, absolutely green battalion. And in the morning, I found next door to me three old fets from number one company, and one of them saw my sergeant stripes. He said, "Now look here, kid, don't you start giving any orders." There was nothing in sight at all, as usual, except a farm, left of a farm, slightly to our left. But way to far to the left we could see Germans coming up in solid cubes, about the extent of an acre's, pat them out. Oh, I say, 1,000-yard range. But an immediate front, nothing doing. There we were shelled by our artillery and the usual business, and that night, and the Germans were on behind us, so the wounded we had in the morning were simply taken prisoner and disappeared. I hope I'm not being too garrulous.
No, you're doing fine. You go ahead.
By that time, I'd been 5 days and nights without sleep. And the dusk started, and it started to get dark, and I saw coming from the right, North Arc, two and two, just like a child's arc. And they came, and they climbed up the chimney, the elephants and the giraffes and all the rest of it, and down the other side. I saw it quite plainly. And then we were taken out again. Went back. I was carrying one fellow on my arm and his rifle. He was asleep, but he's walking. Nobody interfered. First thing we heard was a British outpost say they're their own people. And we went back a bit and got a light. There was a trench further back. And I broke into the Staminé, you know, pub, and which is deserted, and drank a whole quart bottle of white wine. And boy, it was good.
That's the best thing that happened to you in 5 days, eh?
Then we went up again, back to the same old spot, and dug in individually. And I knew nothing more for 6 hours. When I woke up, everybody who dug in with me had disappear. But out of that wonderful 6 hour sleep. I snooped around a bit and found an officer, and we went out that night, and I went down to where the officers had been, our company officers, aside from a few dead horses that had accumulated in the meantime, everything was as usual. But all the company mail that they'd started to censor was lying all over the floor. And I picked that up, put it in the sandbags, and brought it out. It went out on the other side of the salient, on the east side, in single file, 3 paces interval. And in one place, there was a quiet battle going on, just about 200 yards to our left. You can see the flash of the rifles and the grenades and so forth, no shell fire. It's just exactly like the illustration from Dante's Inferno. Then we went through Ypres, which was deserted, except for an occasional lorry dashing through. I still remember one poor Gurger. He was badly wounded, all by himself. And he was staggering along. I've often wondered what happened to him.
How many would there have been left of the battalion?
I couldn't give you any idea. In my platoon, which we went in on the 22nd, was 50 strong, and 8 of us mustered afterwards. And in the whole brigade, 3 of the 4 medical officers were killed in their dressing stations. I mean, when you arrived in a dressing station, you were simply told if you were still capable of moving to
keep going.
Keep going.